You've heard about VIP membership, you've thought about VIP membership, and now we're going to entice you to activate your VIP membership. Today, you can take $8 off a VIP membership. That brings our $9.99 monthly rate down to $1.99 for your first month, or apply it to our cheaper rates when you commit to 3 months or 1 year. That's $8 off with coupon code LiveCast18. That's LiveCast18, all one word, no space, LiveCast18 in the coupon code box when you check out pwtorch.com/goVIP. What comes with the VIP membership? Well, first of all the PW Torch livecasts on one RSS feed that you can subscribe to. But as a VIP member, these plugs and similar plugs, along with the advertising and commercials, edited out of the show. So a streamlined experience. Plus, VIP after shows, exclusive post-show content just for VIP members. Also, VIP exclusive content that nobody else hears. The Wade Keller Hotline every single day that I put out. And the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. And the Fix with Todd Martin that I host. And the post-pay-per-view roundtables, including the Royal Rumble post-pay-per-view show recorded right after the Rumble that I host. Also, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop site. PWTorch.com becomes PWTorchVIP.com for VIP members. Ad-free access to everything on the site and so much more. Did I mention 30-plus years of archives? Retro radio shows going back to the early 1990s? Thousands upon thousands of hours of podcasts on any topic you can imagine in professional wrestling from a top trusted team. Go check out our benefits. Over 70 exclusive podcasts, over 25 live casts with plugs and ads removed. An RSS feed that lets you sign up for shows by theme, by title, or all at once, whatever is convenient for you. And yes, it's compatible with popular podcast apps on Apple and Android. So go check out details. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. Choose your subscription option, 1 month, 3 month, or 1 year, and then enter coupon code LiveCast18 to take $8 off the price of your subscription. We are journalists. We are independent analysts. We are forever students of the game, working passionately to help you understand pro wrestling better and enjoy it on a different level than most fans by never stopping our own journey to learn and inquire and decipher everything going on in this fascinating genre. We are independent. We are unattached to and uncompromised by any affiliation with a pro wrestling company or dependence on cooperation with the companies we cover. So you can trust that what we're saying isn't hindered by conflicts of interest or fear of losing a current or future job in the industry. There's less hedging than you'll find elsewhere. You might have noticed that. No fanboy blind loyalty and no holding back. But we're also committed to fairness and exploring all sides of decisions that are made by promoters and wrestlers. So check out our complete coverage in print, text, and audio. pwtorch.com/goVIP. $8 off. A coupon awaits you. Act now before this offer expires. It's for a very limited time. The coupon code is LiveCast18.
Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, January 27, 2018, you are listening live to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. Now, originally, this week, we were going to be talking Bad News Brown, but we made an audible, called it at the line, called the little Omaha action, and now we're going to be talking about some problematic situations that have occurred in the last few weeks in wrestling. Now, I can't do this alone, so I'm going to have my co-host on in a few, but I want to make sure we know that you know how to get a hold of us. So that's hitting us up on the main line. Area code 515-605. I'm sorry. Yeah, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Now, you can also, if you don't feel inclined to call us in and hit one on the touchstone after doing so, hit us up on the old Gmail mail. So you can do that via pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. So, like I said, when we were talking about this show, I was going to have my main man, Deep Palm, on, and we were going to talk about Bad News Brown. But along came the Michael Elgin situation and the Enzo situation and the XFL and all these problematic things and the dedication to Chris Benoit from Jericho and a whole mess of things. And that led to me changing my mind and, like I said, calling the audible, because I think we want to talk about a little bit the issue of the problematic favorites, the problematic things that we kind of let go through in the sake of loving wrestling. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily love us completely. So I want to hash it out. I want to talk with you guys. I want to talk with my co-host, D. Palm, about it. And I want to make sure we're putting all the cards on the table, because I understand going in tonight, it's NXT TakeOver. We can obviously talk about that for a little bit. I understand tomorrow, the Rumble. But now is the time. I think on the eve of Black History Month, on the eve of a time when Vince McMahon's alleged favorite person in the world, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., gets honored outside of his birthday, you know, this is a good time for us to just talk about some things that are just hanging out there. So I'm going to start not with the legendary D. Palm right now, but I'm going to start with 862. And I think I know who this is. 862, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
It's Kylan, Rich. How are you?
Good, good. I never want to assume. The one time I assume it's not you, it's going to be someone else from New Jersey, and I'm going to freak out.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to you, but it probably will.
So what do you think? Like, with this week that's gone by, some of the craziness, and I know, as always, you do your homework and you have questions.
Where do I start here? Well, my first question here is kind of a complicated one, but since the two of us around here like challenges, I think you would be well served to want to undertake this. So my first question is going to be, should we, and how do you go about separating the wrestling persona from the real life person? And should we even do that, or should we feel guilty if we decide to watch a Chris Benoit or a Enzo Amore or whatever controversial wrestling figure at this point?
Well, that's a good question. I think cards on the table, the first thing I do want to mention, and I thank for that opening, Kylan, is it's going to be something all of us have to make a decision on for ourselves. So I don't want to be rude and say this is the line that all wrestling fans must cross. But I do think there are some points of no return. I think last week, for instance, Enzo and Elgin, they have, you know, sexual assaults put by their name. And I know we're in a court of public opinion and people say innocent until proven guilty, yada, yada. But when there is a pattern of negative male behavior in terms of sexual aggressiveness, sexual assault, rape, there's always this predilection to say, well, she's a rat. Well, she's put up, you know, selfies of her underwear. Well, she's, you know, doing all these. Well, she's crazy. And at no point does the lens ever go to the wrestler and say, hey, what are you doing? Why did you do this? And I think that's not the best way to go about things, because it's not fair. And it's not, we're in 2018. In my day job, I always talk with my staff about the idea of looking towards 2020. What is the things we need to do to get ahead of the curve, so to speak? And I think wrestling and wrestling fans, we have to pull ourselves into the 21st century. I think a lot of stuff that was excused back in the day needs not to be. So with Benoit, for your very specific question, I can't watch his matches. I don't feel comfortable watching them. If you can, that's fine. But I personally, when I see Chris Benoit, when I hear arguments about him for the Hall of Fame, I think about Nancy and I think of his son. I don't really think of him. So I understand Jericho, that was his friend, and I'm not going to put a value judgment on him defending his friend, but he also has to realize as a public figure, putting that out there, there is, you have now given people in the public the right to fairly criticize or praise you for that decision. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Excellent. So what else do you have for us on this rainy Saturday night here in Pittsburgh?
My second question is one that I may get in some semblance of trouble for asking, but someone was bound to ask it anyway. Now, I know these are completely different situations, but Wade, our esteemed editor, would probably treat them with the same level of value. So I took a lot of stock in whether I really wanted to ask this, but here goes. Who do you think will have a better chance of returning to WWE at some point with the checkered indiscretions that they committed? Enzo Amore with his potential assault or non-assault of Philomena Sheehan, or Hulk Hogan with his very ill-advised racist rant of 2006?
Wow. Gosh. Well, before I answer this, Kylan, I'm going to bring in my main man, D-Palm, so he can also feel the heat on this question as much as I will. D-Palm, how are you, my man?
I'm feeling the hot tag. I'm in here. I'm at least going to see what I can do. But that's quite the hot tag there, Rich.
Yeah, I just slapped your arm, and I hopped out of the ring.
I'm looking around like, what? And the crowd's going nuts. They want me to get in the ring, but I didn't even know that I'd been tagged. I'll say this, Kylan, to answer your question directly. I don't know who would come back first. It feels like Hulk Hogan's got more history on his side as far as people in the audience who would go to bat for him. It does feel like, and we're all going off sheets, no one's in that locker, but this was not the straw that broke the camel's back, maybe the log that digged. This was a very big situation that Enzo found himself in, and he already had found himself less than ingratiated with members of the office and the boys in the back. So I'd say that while I would prefer neither to be on WWE television again, I must say I probably will see the Hulkster back before we do see Enzo Amore.
And I think I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think, look at the compare what happened in both cases. Both had egregious situations. Enzo sat on his information with his boss for a month, month and a half. Hogan went the day he found out that Gawker was going to release the tapes and told them, I think it was like right after Tough Enough had filmed, and kind of gave them. Yeah. So, and there's something to be said for that. Like I said, with my day job, there is a gots to go situation. If I don't let my employer know something happens that might put them in arrears. And with a public profile position, like a professional wrestler for a publicly traded, the only publicly traded wrestling company, Enzo made a bad decision in doing that. I think regardless of whether or not he did what the victim says he did, him hiding it, him deciding not to tell his employer to at least get them on his side. Maybe what can we do from a PR standpoint? What can we do from a legal standpoint to cut this off at the pass? He did none of that. And I think that kind of, like D-Palm said, he threw the log right on top of that camel's back, and that was it.
Yeah. And my final question for you guys ties into this, and it also ties into the somewhat shocking XFL announcement with yesterday's exhumation of Vince McMahon's alleged Tannen Booth assault in 2006, which was later deemed possibly not to ever have happened. Does this affect his being able to get the XFL off the ground now, in light of where we are as a society with the whole Me Too and Time's Up movement, or will this be able to skate his way past this, much like he has with the 1994 steroid trial and other landmines that he has managed to skip over?
Oh, wow. I think the biggest thing with Vince is until the charges stick to him, where, you know, at this point, at his age, unless he does something ridiculous, he's probably going to skate just because of the amount of money and the amount of kind of political pull he has, or him and his family now have. I don't think he's going to get something to level the steroid trial again, which I think tied into your original question about the XFL. I found it very curious that the man who was on federal trial for steroids and all that fun stuff in the 90s said DUIs and DWIs would not be allowed in his league. He was conspicuous by the absence of performance-enhancing drugs, but I'm sure that was complete oversight on his part.
Complete oversight. You're right. I think that we're going to talk more about this XFL announcement deeper into the show, but I do want to say this, that it's interesting that he would draw that line when a member of his tag team champions happened to get popped for an unnamed offense. It wasn't just an offense. It was one of the ones that he named himself unprompted as a disqualifier for the XFL.
Yeah. I mean, that was, and we're going to get into that too, because most people would not file me under the Roman Reigns Defense Force. But after Raw 25th anniversary, I apparently have a card. I got some things to say about what went on that night. And just again, that's what led me to change this show. Now, can you hear us, Kylan? Is there anything else you wanted to add? Because I do have to run to other callers. I don't want to brush you off, but I got to keep a tight ship because I'm right outside of our castle here.
I'm gone.
All right. Well, you have. Oh, no, I appreciate it. Like I said, I always appreciate the calls. We'll get back to you next week, and I'll look forward to doing a co-hosting show with Kylan in March. We're going to do one of his other four top topics that he wanted to bring to the deep dive. We've already started with one. But before we start with that, Deepam, how are you, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Like I said, I'm outside of the castle here in Pittsburgh where my football team decided to hold our end-of-season banquet. It's ridiculous. Thinking it's not like medieval times, because if they go too far on script, I might have to leave really quick. but yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to it. Now, for those of you, I mean, he is now running with one of my best friends in the world, Chris Maitland, neck and neck for the most co-hosted episodes of the Deep Dive, though Deepam is the recipient of the most listens. So why don't you tell, for the four people who may not have heard of you before, who you are, what you're about, and all the awesome audio goodness you bring on a weekly basis to the universe.
With that kind of intro, I don't really need to do much. That's basically the glorious entrance music. I just got to go up there and one, two, three, the guy, they're going to pop again for it one more time. Like you said, my name is D Palm. I am a podcaster over at the MTR Network. We bring a unique take towards everything in life, from politics all the way to video game reviews, and of course to sports. I host the Unanimous Decision podcast. We've had You're like the old school WCW rankings on Saturday morning, where we can see who was in line for a title shot. I'm just out here telling you, I bring on my friends, I bring on people I like to talk to, and I brought on Rich Fan more than once because he is so knowledgeable, not just in the world of professional wrestling, but larger sports. Four times a year, we like to have a very special podcast where I bring on both Rich and also Cam from the East Coast Cast and one of my other good friends, Sam Franco, who hosts a morning show in Athens, Georgia. And we discuss the Big Four pay-per-views. This past week, we recorded what I called the Royal Ramble. It's up on your podcast feed right now. Search Unanimous Decision anywhere podcasts are given away absolutely free.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And speaking of giving something away, I do want to talk a little bit about one of the fine folks here on the PW Torch Livecast Network, Wink Wines. I'm not a big fan of wine, as they say in the street. I'm not a huge wine drinker, as they say. But my wife is. My wife is a big fan of wine. She is People's Republic of Wine. And
Rich,
what if
Rich,
I told you?
I have to break in and tell you, if you're not a wine guy, you've got to get on, give it a shot. You've really got to get on board. My taste buds have evolved, my friend. I've been awakened to the world of wine.
Well, from what she says, Wink is great because they have wine experts that select wines matched to our taste, personalized for us, ship right to our door, and it's just $13 a bottle. It's a great way to discover great wine, and as D-Palm just laid the 411 on me, you have questions like, how do you like your coffee? How do you like your blueberries? It's very specific. They go through a palate profile quiz. You answer some questions, and your average store clerk wouldn't necessarily ask those things. I know when I go into a state store, since I am a person who doesn't observe drinking, my wife does, I'll walk in and I want a wine. They're like, red or white? And I'm like, purple? What? I'm sorry. I thought it was grape juice. But with Wink, it's awesome because they don't have membership fees. You can skip a month. You can cancel anytime. Shipping's covered. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle you love, no questions asked. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/PWTorch and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's TryWink. TryWink.com/PWTorch for $20 off. TryWink.com/PWTorch. Now, when Palm and I come back, we're going to talk to you guys a little bit about what I just said, my Roman Reigns Defense Force membership, why that is, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the XFL. So stick with us here on the Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and D-Palm. So before we left, obviously you can get a hold of us at any point by calling area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We're hitting us up at pwtdive@gmail.com. I mentioned I joined the Roman Reigns Defense Force, and that was mainly because to the point that Kylan astutely brought up earlier in his questions, we have these lines in the sand we draw, and one of the lines that I've been okay with, I understand who he is, what he is, and it's just one of those things we never just talk about, and that's Steve Austin's arrest for domestic abuse. Roman Reigns, to the best of my knowledge, has done nothing but try to be the best top guy he could be given the situation. If I liken it again like we have in the past, a quarterback getting plays from the head coach and he can't audible. Austin got to audible. He got to be Peyton Manning with a dash of Johnny Manziel. And I think that the fans embracing at the beginning of the show, Austin with such fervor without saying a word is a testament to his legacy as a professional wrestler. But then when Vince McMahon mentions on the XFL that you can't be arrested for this, that, and the other thing, the people who made him some of the most money in his life have all gone to jail at some point. D-Palm, am I crazy?
You're not crazy. And I think it's interesting, like you say, and people say blind spots. I don't think it's blind spots. Blind spots indicates that people are unaware. I think that we allow for certain hypocrisies, not just in wrestling, but in life. Orson Scott Card is a virulent homophobe, but I really love Ender's Game. So I read Ender's Game.
Yeah.
I don't espouse any of his beliefs. I like to think that I'm consistent, but I know that I'm not. And I think that there are times we all have to make individual decisions as to say, what level of hypocrisy am I comfortable with? Bill Withers is one of my favorite artists of all time. Bill Withers beat his wife unapologetically. How do I reconcile those two? I don't know. And it's interesting because, as we're going to talk, a lot of our morality does come down to how much do we like this person or how much do I appreciate this art? Am I willing to excuse it? I will never say that appreciating someone's art means you co-sign their necessarily beliefs, but it does say, hey, you have to ask the question. You have to address it. And if the art is separate enough from that person's beliefs, like for me, R. Kelly is a bridge too far because his songs are directed at little girls, which is his disgusting behavior that I can't ignore. It's thrown in your face. It's inexorably tied to the product he produces. For people who say they can't watch Christian Benoit matches, that's the same idea. Does the head trauma tie too closely to the action in the ring for someone else to enjoy it? I can't speak for anyone else, you know?
Yeah. And one of the people I thought of when I was thinking about this show, and she's going to be on tomorrow night, and that's Asuka. Asuka, when she was under her real name of Kana and wrestled in Japan, for several matches wrestled in Nazi attire. And also did Gravure, which is kind of like softcore, like a lot of the Joshi wrestlers, some of them get pulled into that. And would simulate beating an opponent and then assaulting them. And in the middle of the match, she's like threatening to rip the woman's bra off to the titillation of the crowd. Like, she's also one of the best wrestlers on the planet. It's a time place thing. I think if she had done those things in the United States, that never would have flown.
Well,
I say that now, but
some of it is the way we approach wrestlers. I was listening to Batista on the Edge and Christian podcast and said that when people see Chris Pratt, they don't say, oh, look, it's Star-Lord. But when you see Batista, because we're so tied to, you think, oh, that's the animal Batista. And you're right. I think that while it is, you could say, oh, we're some of the JBL things with the early 2000s, was that over the line? Maybe. But at the same time, we had the Jack Swagger and Dutch Mantel where they filmed the bits after their bits saying, hey, we're actors. This is a part. And I think that it's interesting because there was a time when wrestlers were kidnapped. They broke Dusty's leg. People knew wrestling was a work, but they were allowing themselves to say, oh, these villainous actions are allowed within the paradigm of my professional wrestling. At some point, while we stepped away from the world of kayfabe, somehow kayfabe intensified because we now assume that the on-screen persona is the person behind the wheel driving to the next path.
Yeah, that's a real tough world. I remember Jericho. One of his first Talk is Jericho's with a non-wrestler. He met with Asa Akira, the adult film star, and she mentioned the same thing. Like, the fans are too close. People are too close. And so because of that, the art and the actor or actress is the person they see in real life. And that's a dangerous line to play. I know I could not deal with that in my day-to-day life. I can only imagine how it is for someone who has to be a public-facing person and needs that to pay the bills.
Well, on a much smaller level, I record a lot of podcasts, and I was fortunate enough last 2 years, to do live shows in D.C. in June, tied with AwesomeCon. And we always had meetups afterwards. But after a live podcast that you've been planning and organizing for months, it can be kind of an emotional come down afterwards. But I found myself having the need to be on because these people would come to see me. So while it's a much smaller scale, but it was one night of my life, and that's how these guys operate all the time.
Yeah. And you got to deal with, I've never dealt with this, getting up at 4 a.m., getting off a plane, and there's 10 people waiting there.
Oh, no.
You got to get to your hotel. 20, 30, 40 people waiting there. And if you get out of line once, there's going to be tweets, videos, Instagrams that are going to prove how much of a quote-unquote jerk you are when they don't show – like Jericho, that happened – I want to say 2 months ago. A fan complained about it, and then Jericho went on his own show and laid the scene out with wrestlers who were there. That person was rude to him, and Jericho in turn said, "Hey, I'm at dinner. Can you wait?" And the guy couldn't wait. And that's when, you get blasted with both barrels, because who wants to be eating and have someone, after politely telling you, "I will take a picture, do whatever, just let me eat."
You're 100% right. And it's interesting because we always hear stories and people are touted like The Miz is very famous. No matter where he's doing or where he is, he will stop and take the picture. It's also right. Should be understood that that's not the rule. That's exceptional. What he's doing is the exception. It's above and beyond. And I think that gets kind of lost too, because when that does happen, we lionize that action so heavily that people are like, "Oh, I guess that's how all wrestlers are going to be from now on."
Yeah. And it's tough. I get their lives are tough and I get the situation is tough, but there has to be this line. And I think that's where all of these things, they're problematic. The problematic reality of 2018 wrestling and things we need to do, social media, meeting people in real life, learning that the actor is not the character, those sorts of things. And, we have a caller, so I want to bring them in and kind of get what their questions are. 985, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling the Deep Dive with Rich and Palm.
What's up, Rich? What's up, Deep Palm? This is Cody from Baton Rouge.
Hey, Cody.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. Just getting some snacks, getting ready for TakeOver tonight, which I'm going to be highly invested in since I am still planning to attend TakeOver in a couple months.
Excellent. And to steal Deepalm's thunder, we are going to try. I don't know what we're doing. It's not going to be like super organized. Well, I say that, but it is going to be as organized as I can make it. I want to have a PW Torch East Coast cast meetup for fans that are going to be in New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend. Obviously, you have the home field, so I'm going to have to talk to you offline about places we can go that everyone can get to safely and kind of be aware of. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think tonight's going to be fun. I look forward to TakeOver. In fact, once my banquet's done, as soon as I get home, I'm going to watch that and just, bask in the glory that is NXT.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that tonight. But anyways, I wanted to tackle something that you mentioned, something that y'all were talking about, and that's, with the records that some of these older veterans had back in the day. And the only thing that I really just want to say about that is yes, like some of Vince's biggest money makers were in that era and were getting in trouble for who knows what. But I think the difference between now and then is because back then everything really wasn't as much under a microscope as it is now. Like if you look at what's going on today with the repercussions itself of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse case, with mm-hmm. so many people having to leave Michigan State. And then we also talk about, social media. Of course, always social media that just amplifies everything. And even something as even with like PED uses and opioid crisis and battle whether or not marijuana should be legalized or not, like none of that stuff was talked about as much, I don't think, back in the 90s. But even now, something as simple as what's the guy's name? Rich Swann. of him being released from, you know, due to domestic abuse. It just, I just think everything just so under a microscope these days, where, you know, kudos to all these public figures like, you know, like Jericho, and I'll even give Roman Reigns props too. It where they have to deal with so much because they're in the public eye so much. And I think it speaks a lot to the character of them as people. What do you guys think?
Paul?
Oh, I was giving the space for it. Well, I think it's interesting because you're right. Things are under a stronger microscope now. And I'm, for one, believe they should be, and I'm glad that they are. I think that look at cases like the Larry Nassar case, and you say, wow, 30 years. If someone had the internal conviction to say something at any point, but there's too much profit being made at the cost and psychic and real cost of people's lives. I think that while, like, you're right, that some of the people who made money for Vince in the 90s, 80s, and 70s probably couldn't operate the same way as they would today, I like to think that wrestling, not just the product, but also the backstage, is something of a reflection on society, some of the more progressive ends of society even, and that you're right, we're not seeing it as these people, and I don't think that makes necessarily good people, but it makes them, because I don't want to speak to motive. It does make them cognizant, it does make them aware, and while people will say, oh, you know, people don't rape because they're scared, hey, let's get to the baseline of people not raping. If you do it out of fear or it's an obligation to be good, I don't care, as long as it's not happening, we'll deal with hearts and minds later. Let's stop the hurtful actions first.
Yeah. And I'm with Palm on that. I think one of the biggest issues we're seeing in the future, Cody, you're right, because when you think about it, you have this technology, you have all these things that now make it easier to find out about what was going on. You don't have a police force that's willing to let a drunk wrestler sleep it off in the tank or let him get off with a warning and an autograph. It's that the stakes are higher because, you know, for every Ric Flair, you're going to have a Rich Swann. And how do you rectify saying, well, Ric Flair did this, I'm letting him go because he's the style and profiling dude. Rich Swann did this, we're not going to let it go because it's wrong. You know, it gets muddy. Yeah. The waters get really muddy.
Swann was
yeah,
crazy,
and,
wasn't he?
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't been following the Rich Swann thing. But
yeah,
it's crazy when you think about it.
Go ahead.
It's crazy when you think about it. Especially, you know, like you said, Rich, for every Ric Flair, there's a Rich Swann. But even just imagining, like, if Ric Flair had been in his prime today, doing all the stuff that he was doing, like, would he really get as much of popularity, as much of a legacy as he had because of all those things that he may or may not have done? And with going back to the Rich Swann thing, speaking specifically to the wrestling business, it's hard. It's hard for, you know, companies like WWE. At least I'd like to think it's hard for them to have to switch on a dime, especially if they were planning something for him, and then now with Enzo being gone, as damaged as 205 Live is, Rich Swann and Enzo Amore are probably two of your biggest stars on that show. So now it's more of like, I think it hurts the business whenever stuff like that happens, specifically because now they have to make all new plans if they didn't have any plans already.
And when it comes to sexual assault, I think I speak for, I don't want to speak for Rich, but the business is the last thing on my mind. I looked it up for Swann. All charges were dropped this week for Rich Swann, and as noted, he was not released by WWE. He was, as per policy, suspended indefinitely while the investigation was ongoing. His lawyers released a statement saying that they're going to be working to get back that suspension lifted and back in good graces. So best luck to that and the whole situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And when it comes to the other side. Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say something real quick. When it comes to what you're talking about with Enzo and then the cascading effect of Rich, we also have to take 5 steps back The reason they were in the dire straits they were to get Enzo is because they misused Neville and never had a follow-up for him. So now he's on the bench, sidelines, however you want to put the analogy out there, by his own volition, because he did not feel they valued him as the top guy at 205 Live. So it's just a big – so the question then becomes, do we excuse some of Enzo's indiscretions, which they had been doing, and they weren't as egregious, obviously, as sexual assault or rape. But, you know, the guy was in Buffalo. I had two of my friends who were in Buffalo at the time at a strip club, stiffing strippers. He's you know, you're getting a reputation for being a jerk in every aspect of your life. He went on to Rosenberg's Hot 97 and did a freestyle where he was bragging in December about beating a charge. And now if that's a character, if that's just him trying to, you know, ingratiate himself to Rosenberg, that's great. But something tells me, you know, this guy doesn't see what we would see as a red flag. Like, I don't know about you, Palm, but with my wife, I'm not going to bring up the argument that I just stopped arguing about when I go out here and go to a banquet. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, remember we were arguing about how much we were going to pay for this vacation in June? I want to bring it up here in front of 50 kids. You know, that's what Enzo does all the time. He has no sense of filter or no sense of what is decorum. And I think when you start depending on people like that because you're misusing some of the talent you have, you start to get into these moral quandaries.
Right. And I agree with you, what you were saying, D-Palm, that the business, you know, business should be the last thing you think about. I totally agree. I was just speaking merely from, like, just from the business standpoint and how it hurts their product when two big stars from a particular show were caught, or at least in a situation
right.
where they found themselves being accused
right.
of either sexual assault or what have you. And I think another huge example is the Chris Benoit thing. Like, it's that's still to this day nobody ever talks, nobody even bothers to talk about him purely in the ring because of what had happened. And it's really unfortunate, because you're talking about some guys who have a lot of potential, a lot of potential not only to do good in the ring, but to do good outside of the ring. That's why I give a lot of credit to guys like John Cena, you know, even, you know, Roman Reigns, and all the other WWE talent that goes out of their way to do good things for other people.
All right. So first of all,
yeah.
the even Roman Reigns thing will always be funny to me. Just.
you have to realize, D-Palm, that Cody is one of the card-carrying members of the Roman Six Semper Romanus. You know, in terms of, like, Roman must be destroyed. But he's very polite about it. He's not the typical dude that calls up and is like, yeah.
Right. I do have an addendum on that, though, Rich. Because I will say, like, since Roman's come back from illness, like, the way that he's mm-hmm. being, the way that he had been presented on television is different. I don't know if it has to do with him or if it has to do with the people that are writing for him. But, you know, I've been giving him a chance. So that may change on Sunday, but we'll see. But so far, I can tell you he's on my good list.
Okay, good man.
I'll say this: that upheaval in the company and in the business sometimes breed the best things that happen. You look at the history of the business. When Bret Hart left, it wasn't expected, but that paved the way for Stone Cold. This is one of the beautiful things about professional wrestling, is that they're able to adjust the plans of the fly around injury and around departure. And sometimes the best ideas come out of being back in their corner, like the Vince McMahon villainous idea.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I listened to Talk as Jericho recently.
Me too.
And Jericho had David Meltzer on, and to be honest, I'm not a fan of Dave Meltzer. I think you guys deserve to do a much better job. But, you know, as far as his knowledge in the business goes, especially going back to that period in time, it's amazing to hear all that stuff, that even just the stuff that could have happened if Bret Hart hadn't left. But anyway, mm-hmm. I don't want to keep you guys. That's all I got for you guys today. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Always a pleasure. And like I said, we got to connect offline and kind of set the plan. Now, when we come back, Palm and I are going to take your calls. I still see we have some more callers here. But we're also going to discuss the question of, what do you do with the upcoming XFL. All right, you're listening to Palm and Rich here on the Deep Dive, PW Torch Livecast Network.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and Palm. We are here talking about some of the problematic faves, some of the moral quandaries you kind of fall in as a wrestling fan, and how in 2018 those questions are harder to answer, and kind of just walking through it. You know, we're not the old men on the hill. We're not saying you're right or wrong for it. We just want to kind of talk it out and kind of show you where we're at. And with that in mind, I wanted to talk a little bit before we get to our final two callers and the hour we got. XFL. I watched the first one when it was an alternative to the NFL and it was crazy and you had He Hate Me and all of this. But 2020's XFL, which seems to be the MAGA-rific version of an NFL franchise as seen by Vince McMahon and his shadow counterpart Donald J. Trump. Palm, how are you feeling about the XFL on the whole after that press conference?
First and foremost, this league will not happen. You have to first, and I know people are saying that people are going to talk themselves into the idea because this is guys with money trying to throw money around. And that's always an interesting story. A lot of revisionist history has been done about the original run of the XFL, culminating in the 30 for 30 that ran on ESPN last year. I want everyone to know the name of the man who directed and produced that. His name is Charlie Ebersol. He's basically writing a love letter to his father, who was an idiot, who was duped, who was a visionary, who maybe had outstayed his time at NBC, who was duped by a carny and who investing an ungodly amount of money into a football league. Now, 2000, the atmosphere was much different than it is right now. The NFL has never been more popular. So the idea that people might want more football is out there. NBC was devoid of a football product. So you got the hottest thing in the world in football, and you're not getting any of that money. How best to find that money? Now, all your big networks have NFL deals. Where is the network going to be played? Last time, they were able to avoid major NFL cities to not give the depiction of competition to attract advertisers. 2018, what advertiser is risking being blackballed by the largest revenue generator in America? Even the little guy's got to say,
question.
Hey, man, I could actually get this NFL thing off the ground. I don't want to touch you. There are a litany of reasons this isn't going to happen or is a very bad idea before we get to any of the on-field products, where I'll remind you that your third team, that your starter from college who you loved is a special teams player in the NFL. They can't find 10 quarterbacks capable right now. And you're going to give me at least, 16 more because it's 8 teams with 2 on the depth chart? Come on, guys. We've proven in this country there's a satiable appetite for football. We found it. Ratings are down, not because of any of the external factors. If you look at the results, it says people aren't entertained by the games. Also, there's no football. Maybe, just maybe, there's football saturation. Vince McMahon's working off a paradigm of, and let's put it plainly, dog whistles turned into foghorns.
Mm-hmm.
What is always interesting to me is that while people have tried to cater to that group, no one's asked the question of, well, what are the people who understand that you can like football and also like the players?
Well, what about, we're not going to be political, but everyone must stand for the flag.
He knows what he's doing. It's like I said, dog whistles turn into foghorns. And while there's been much concern given to the however large subsection of NFL fans who are legitimately offended by the protesting of the murder of black bodies in the streets, which you have to ask yourself, why is that offensive to you? But no one's asked, well, what do we do with the fans who are watching? What do we do with the fans for whom this is not a point of derision, but a point of pride in our league? No one thought of those fans. Instead, we get Hank Williams Jr. singing about Monday Night again because everyone's forgotten Hank Williams Jr. happens to be a racist.
Yeah, I think, and you know, if I can borrow it from the American president, I don't think it's that people forgot; it's that they don't care. Yeah, it's for me. Hey, it's Conrad. He's a great host. He does some good stuff in wrestling. I saw on Twitter he mentioned that this is all a ploy by Vince to tie XFL 2.0 into the negotiations for television. And I would say, quite frankly, if you think as much money as Rupert Murdoch makes from Fox News and his more aggressively right-wing properties in the United Kingdom, that he's going to touch his Everyone Loves It, you know, broadcast television channel and make it MAGA, you know, Mondays with WWE and XFL, that's not happening, especially when you consider how left-leaning and how visually, ethnically, and in any way you can think diverse the WWE fan base is. And that ties into really the crux of my conversation with Palm today. I wanted you on and I wanted to talk to you because I know you have these hard questions and I know you have answered these hard questions with Chris on the MTR network. When you have a group of money paying customers that hear constantly you show them in a negative light when you portray them on television, eventually that's going to come home to roost. For me, my biggest example right now, and we'll take the calls, and I obviously want to get your response to this. We were just talking with Cody from Baton Rouge about the guys who kind of made missteps and they still kept going, et cetera, et cetera. What about a guy who has done nothing but make the best out of a horrible situation, starting from life, birth itself, to become a pro wrestler? And I'm talking about Titus O'Neil, and he is still in the throes of the don't touch the boss punishment he received almost 2 years ago.
What you and I would call a punishment, because maybe you're not being featured, he's on TV every week.
Mm-hmm.
He is the face of the company in many philanthropic efforts. He's winning Man of the Year awards and Father of the Year awards. And maybe, just maybe, he's not getting the push that, and maybe that's a storyline booking, but you want to bury him, you send him home and you send him his downside guarantee check. That's a burial.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't think it's a burial, but I think it's, you're not using him to his best abilities, because Titus is a guy. Now, Titus Worldwide, I will fully admit, once they added Dana Brooke, I was all in because they're just the Isle of Misfit toys. And I always pop every time they go worldwide.
It's great.
But it's kind of like with the New Day. At some point, I want those guys to grow up like DX did. And Triple H and Shawn got to go win world titles.
I think that's part of us as wrestling fans. And I talked about this actually on a mailbag that's going to come out next week under the Super Tuesday feed over mtrnetwork.net. But everyone's got favorites. But there's only so much story to go around. And if one of our favorites finds a featured place in the mid card like Titus has, I think that's a win. We can't control what they write. We can control our reactions to what we see. So if you want to see that push, let's get behind Titus. Maybe he never makes the world title level. Road Dogg didn't. He was one of the more popular wrestlers of the Attitude Era. Everyone knows, everyone who watched remembers D'Lo Brown. There are places in wrestling, not at the top, that still matter. And I think that because we've reached such a, and this is a larger societal point, but people will say, oh, so-and-so's better than so-and-so. How many rings does he have? If the only way we measure successes is by jewelry, then we're really losing track of, especially in wrestling, what the point is. Because spoilers about wrestling, the story never ends. It's like comic books. It's here every month, and the hero can look like he's in trouble, and you might say, hey, I wish that character was featured more. Sorry, buddy, his name's not on the book. But maybe, just maybe, if you show enough support for this book, we can get you a spinoff or a miniseries for the character you like. It's cyclical storytelling, it's linear storytelling, and it never stops. So is there a chance for one day Titus to be restructured and make that leap? Yeah. But is there also a place where I think for him to be a counterpart to the New Day on Raw? Could he be that entertaining? I actually think yes. And need I remind you, in Texas 2 years ago, who was number one merch mover all weekend? It wasn't Stone Cold. It wasn't HBK. It was the New Day.
Nope. No New Day. No, that's good. Those are all fair points. And I'm going to go to our last break real quick because we have some callers. So when we come back, we're going to finish strong with you guys. And we're going to keep talking about this stuff. I mean, if I have to dedicate, you know, February is going to be fun for us. I'll talk about it a little bit more as we get into the month. But if we got to dedicate more shows, less little picture in terms of like maybe a promotion and big picture stuff like this, that's what this show's for. We dive deep and we dive deep with you. So we'll be back in a few moments on the PW Torch livecast, a.k.a. Saturday Edition's Deep Dive.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
All right, finishing strong on the deep dive with Deepalm and Rich. We're here talking to you about the big social issues in pro wrestling. What does a 2018 fan have to deal with? Where are we looking? How do we get past some of the issues we've had in the past? And we have two callers, so I want to kind of get to them before we close up shop, Palm. 814, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling the deep dive.
This is Ryan from Myersdale, PA.
Hi, Ryan. Oh, you changed up. No more Cumberland.
Well, this is where my hometown is. Sometimes on the weekends, I'm in Myersdale.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. So, first question is it's on the Enzo situation. On the Mixed Max Challenge, he had been taken off there, and the reason was given that he had the flu, even though most of the matches weren't going to take place until, like, February. So, do you think they maybe knew something beforehand?
Independent reporting is concerned that they didn't know, but I do know he did have the flu a couple months ago, and that may have been when they were setting things up and trying to book travel, and that may have been why they pulled him off.
Yeah, and some of it may have been, to be honest, Ryan, frustration, because not only do you know that he's sick, but then he's putting on Instagram that he's sick. He's putting on Instagram that they won't let him in the building. He's putting on Snapchat they won't let him in the building. Like, that's not helping your situation. First of all, you're supposed to be a heel. So why is a heel complaining that the company won't let him wrestle that night?
Well, I think it's that he wanted attention, and the heels always want to run their mouth and be a cocky heel to the masses.
No, that's fair.
Okay, second question is something that appeared on the internet was the fans doing the crap out of the 25th anniversary of Raw at the Manhattan Center. You think if they would have given them a flashback match that they would have settled down, say, like the Steiner Brothers against the Executioners?
Palm, what do you think about that one?
I'm going to avoid all the Scott Steiner jokes right now. It's taking a lot of restraint. I'm not going to say I'm a hero, but if you want to call me that, then go ahead. I think that the Manhattan Center crowd, and without offending the people who are in the building, I think that there was a misconception, possibly on their part because of the price of the ticket, but also possibly on presentation part of the WWE, is that it was never going to be a Raw out of the Manhattan Center. Vince McMahon knew that after all the promotion and all the advertising, he'd have more eyeballs than ever. And what was important was the look as big and as important as ever. So the bulk of the show was never not going to come out of Barclays. I think the biggest misstep was not properly communicating that this is a tribute event. This is not a rest. You're not going to Raw at the Manhattan Center. You're going to a celebration of 25 years of Raw that started there.
Yeah, I could see that. And Ryan, thank you so much for the call. Have a great weekend and definitely call back next week. And we're going to finish up with 773. 773, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling into the deep dive.
Boris from Chicago.
Boris, my man.
Hey. Just to add to the conversation, I am not a Roman Reigns fan, and I'll never be.
I knew it. I knew you got to understand, Palm. I will get a text at like 11 o'clock at night, and it'll be Boris like, man, I just thought about Roman Reigns being happy somewhere, and I can't stand it.
Wow. That's
the level, Boris. Him and Roman can't even be in the same like hemisphere. He's like, keep
Roman
him away from you.
He doesn't even know you're there, but you can't because Roman.
He took over Cena. How about that? But not to get distracted and use up all my time on them. I look at wrestling as how I would conduct myself at my job, and all mm-hmm. these guys have a job. So your whole reputation, whether you like your job or not, is to conduct yourself in and outside that job. So if you get into a situation where, with him, a shady character is mentioning your name, how did you actually get yourself, or how did he get your name out of all the world? You get what I'm saying? I'm gonna make sure that I conduct myself in a way where it won't reflect on my job, and the way I conduct myself on social media too, because my job has access to, you know, social media. So I'm not going to do things that right. would, you know, put me in a light of negativity. And I think that in the same situation with all these people, that their things are happening to them, if you out here conducting yourself where nobody knows but you, but you dealing with shady characters and they come back on you, because I guarantee you, to this point in my life, I have never had anything reflect back to my job saying that I'm out here doing drugs or in shady type of situations. And that's where I look at when I look at the wrestling, I look at the job aspect of before anything else.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. I know Palm is like,
no,
you got to understand, Boris.
I just think that you're right, because the platform is bigger, the spotlight is bigger, the job is bigger. And mm-hmm. it's easier for us to – we don't have as much writing on our personal behavior. And
yeah.
I've always said this, and people admonish the NFL players for a DUI or one of these – or Jey Uso, for example. The same things that got them to the place that they are have downsides.
Mm-hmm.
That ego that says, I can conquer the world, when statistically to make the NFL, to make it to the WWE, to be a tag team champ after reinventing yourself on the fly with your brother, that's statistically impossible. So it's that part of the ego that says, I can drive. It says, I can be out with these people. It's the same thing that got into the platform can burn them. And it's the ones that learn how to balance the two that work the longest and work the most successfully. And sadly enough, it looks like it's burned, at least currently, Enzo. And like I said earlier in the show, his existing issues with the WWE present an interesting light, no matter how this case turns out.
Yeah. And and Boris, have a great week. And I'm sorry I had to cut you short, but my time is running out here. Before I turn over to my good friend here, D-Palm, I do want to say one thing, and that's going forward. I think you understand from the conversation we've had today that if you've been listening to the deep dive, you kind of know my personality. If you've been listening, you've heard D-Palm several times, you know his personality too. These conversations aren't going to stop with today. Other things are going to come up, because that's what, like D-Palm said with the storylines, it's never ending. We have stuff that just pops up. And for me, the biggest issue was, I think there needs to be in 2018 in terms of wrestling journalism, we need to cover this stuff. I love Dave Meltzer. He's one of my favorite writers of all time, one of my favorite journalists. But the way he handled the Michael Elgin situation was deplorable to me. You don't dox someone and put up a blog spot or whatever the crap that post was. Same thing in this week's Observer. You don't say that the woman, even if friends say they have mental issues, because in my day job, I can tell you, working at a university, people take trauma different ways. Sometimes when your brain gets trauma, I'll go to comic books. Think about the whole Wolverine theory of brain healing. It's the same thing in real life. When you have trauma, if I get hit and D-Palm gets hit, I might remember details he does. He might remember details I don't. And it's because our brains, that's what happens, fight, flight, or freeze. So to take a potential victim and write them off because you claim they have mental issues, or you claim that, they are not telling you a clear story. I can tell you almost every case, especially with sexual assault, the victim very rarely will give you the Law and Order Special Victims Unit. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. It's images, it's flashes, it's memories.
They've only got an hour, Rich.
Right, I know. I mean, that's when I go to, Ice-T. He's like, you mean to tell me there's people out there? No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not getting jacked up by Ice-T in the middle of Pittsburgh just because I made fun of his voice. Nope, not doing it. So, yeah. So these conversations are still. I welcome you guys to join us in them. Email me if you don't feel comfortable. We can do this Six Brown Chicks style. Make it anonymous, and I'll read it, and we'll discuss it. But if you're listening and you just want to hear about, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles and why aren't they wrestling at WrestleMania, or are they wrestling at WrestleMania, some weeks it's not going to be for you. And I welcome you if you want to stay with the party. But if you don't, hey, that's why Wade made the Torch live cast as varied as they are. We got a flavor for everybody. With that said, Palm, please drop the 411 on where they can find you, how they can listen to you, and where they can get more information on when you're going to be at other places.
100%. Thank you for having me on one more time. I do want to say this, that I want to echo everything you just said. Mental illness does not stop you from being assaulted, and that these things thrive in violence. And so whether you're meaning to or not, when you attack these people, you're reinforcing that culture that keeps these things in the dark, that enable people like Ray Nassar to prey on so many people for so long. So it's important these voices are heard. All right. So again, D-Palm, you can find me over at the MTR Network. I record a ton of podcasts for them. I'm a co-host on the Super Tuesday podcast, where we review nerd programming, including but not limited to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash, and Arrow. I also co-host the Character Corner, where we do a deep dive, there it is, Rich, on your favorite comic book characters as they appear more and more in the public eye. I know Black Panther's coming out in a very short number of days. Our Black Panther Character Corner is about 2 years old now, but it's still very relevant. Get to know the character before you give them their money, because you will give Marvel their money. And lastly, I host the Unanimous Decision Podcast. It's the one-stop shop for all the sports you need in the world. It is the sports wing of the MTR Network. I have co-host on most weeks. We discuss the world of sport. We've been covering at great length the Michigan State scandal for a couple months now. It's now hit the national stage, and it's been interesting to see what outlets cover and what outlets flat out have it. That and more this Sunday. We're also talking about Boogie Cousins' injury and the NBA All-Star Weekend. It's my favorite weekend in sports, and I couldn't be happier to be doing it occasionally with my friend Rich Fan. We just recorded our Royal Ramble, so if you're getting ready for the action tonight, tomorrow night, download us. Go to udpod.ncrnetwork.net or just search all your podcatchers for Unanimous Decision Podcast.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Daniel Palmer, D-Palm, if you will, if I can borrow the Dusty, and I'm sorry, Dusty, don't hurt me. Guys, it's been awesome. I got to run. This is a Tony Schiavone situation. I got to go. The challenge remains the same every week. Dive into something new. Give you and everyone else around you an opportunity to see you push yourself beyond where you think you could go. It's been real. I'm about to drop some deets on how you can join VIP, where you can hear from some of the finest voices, minds, and historians in the history of professional wrestling. See you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s, but you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.